Hello, and welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester. Just to let you know, I'll be moving. I'm packing up my computer, packing up my hard drive, and all my music, and moving to England with my wife. We'll be living in Cornwall, beginning in October. So I'll be replaying some of the earlier podcasts from the Jazz Treasury. Some of you may have missed. So stay tuned for the next 2 months. I'll be doing some earlier episodes of the Jazz Treasury. On this episode of the Jazz Treasury, we'll be exploring some of the great jazz vocalists, some of the great female jazz vocalists in the history of jazz. Let's listen to Ethel Waters. This is recorded back in New York City in 1933, track called Heat Wave. And on this particular track, Benny Goodman plays clarinet, Bunny Berrigan plays trumpet, and unfortunately, the rest of the musicians are unknown at this time. But Ethel Waters, and you can tell when listening, that Ethel Waters comes from a pre-microphone stage background by the way she holds long notes and her slightly exaggerated pronunciation. But just listen to the way she drags and growls on the line, gee, her anatomy. Heatwave is a great song for a jazz singer, with its cheeky rhymes and syncopated rhythms, and Ethel was the first to sing it in the show as thousands cheer. Ethel Waters, Heatwave.
Down last week, she came from the island of Martinique. The can-can she dances will make you fry. The can-can is really the reason why we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can. She started the heat wave by letting her seat wave, and in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can. Gee, her anatomy made the mercury jump to 93. Yes, sir. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The way that she moves, that thermometer proves that she certainly can. It's so hot, the weatherman will tell you a record's been made. It's so hot, a coat of tan will cover your face in a shade. It's so hot, the coldest maiden feels just as warm as a bride. It's so hot, a chicken laid an egg on the street and it fried. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can. She started the heat wave by letting us heat wave, and in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can. Her anatomy made that mercury jump to 93. Yeah, man, we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The way that she moves, that thermometer proves that she certainly can.
No one can have had a worse start in life than Ethel Waters, who was born in 1896 as a result of a knife point rape. Her mother was aged 13 at the time, and by the time she had reached that age herself, Ethel was working as a hotel chambermaid, but soon joined a small-time vaudeville team on traveling the black theater circuits of the South, performing under the stage name Sweet Mama String Bean. Her sparkling personality captivated a talent spotter named Earl Dancer, who told her to forget the low comedy and suggestive songs of black vaudeville and aim instead at entertaining white audiences. It was good advice. Within a few years, Ethel Waters' name was known to radio, theater, and cinema audiences throughout America. She was featured at the Cotton Club, where the great songwriter team of Harold Arlen and Fred Kohler created Stormy Weather, specially for her. Her success with that song made her a star, the first black woman to be billed on equal terms with white entertainers. Her singing style, with its conversational tone and clear diction, and the way it leaned casually on the beat, became a model for most aspiring young vocalists. She was always at her best with a jazz accompaniment. And there is a fair case to be made for Ethel Waters being the first real jazz singer. She was notoriously touchy where other singers were concerned, and both Lena Horne and Billie Holiday felt the rough side of her tongue. She would fly into a jealous rage, insist on being addressed always as Miss Waters, and accept the most absurd flattery with a satisfied nod. In later life, she became an award-winning actress and born-again Christian, traveling the world and singing with Billy Graham's Evangelical Mission. She died in 1977 at the age of 81. Okay, next up, Lena Horne. And this is a track recorded in Hollywood, California in 1944, As Long As I Live. Lena Horne, of course, doing the vocals. Clyde Hurley, Jake Porter, Fred Trainer on trumpets, Randy Miller on trombone, Les Robinson, Wayne Songer on alto sax, Illinois Jack Kett and Jack Stacy on tenor, Neely Plum on baritone sax, Nellie Lutcher on piano, Dave Barber on guitar, John Simmons bass, and Sid Catlett on the drums. Already a Hollywood star by the 1940s, Lena could command the luxury of a complete studio orchestra. The fact that she was married to arranger and conductor Lenny Hayton also helped. She first sang this number in 1934, age 17, in the Cotton Club Parade. The pianist in the orchestra is Nellie Lutcher, later a big recording star in her own right. Let's listen to As Long As I Live, Lena Horne.
Maybe I can't live to love you as long as I want to. Life isn't long enough, baby, but I can love you as long as I live. But I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I never cared, but now I'm scared. I won't live long enough. That's why I wear my rubbers when it rains and eat an apple every day. Anyway, what if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? Long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to? Life isn't long enough. Diamonds and things like I want to, but I can promise you, sweet baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. But if I can't live to love you long as I want to, long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you as long as as I live.
Now, Ethel Waters' disastrous childhood probably accounts for her aggressive attitude towards other women. Her self-esteem must have been very fragile. By contrast, Lena Horne came from the other end of the social scale and blazed self-confidence from the start. Duke Ellington once said of her, "When Lena's on stage, the first 10 rows end up getting a suntan." The Hornes represented the very pinnacle of the African-American professional classes. One of her uncles was an advisor to President Roosevelt. She was talented, intelligent, beautiful, light-skinned, which was important in those days, and very determined throughout her show business career, she flatly refused to play low-life characters such as maids or prostitutes. By the age of 24, Lena was topping the bill at New York's Cafe Society, and during World War II, she was the black GI's favorite pinup girl. She starred in 15 films, from The Duke Is Tops, 1938, to The Wiz, in 1978, and brought her career to a climax in the early 1980s with a long-running one-woman show on Broadway. Her early records are the ones with the strongest jazz content and show the young Lena to have been a fine swing vocalist. Okay, the next great jazz female vocalist to listen to is Peggy Lee, doing That Old Feeling. And this track features Peggy Lee, of course, on vocals, Eddie Miller on tenor, Stan Reitman on celeste, Nappy Lamar on guitar, and Hank Wayland on bass, and Nick Fattool on drums, recorded in Los Angeles in 1944.
You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
Last night I started out happy. Last night my heart was so gay. Last night I found myself dancing in my favorite cabaret. You were completely forgotten, just an affair of the past. Then suddenly something happened to me, and I found my heart beating oh so fast. I saw you last night and got that old feeling when you came inside. I got that old feeling the moment that you danced by. I felt a thrill, and when I caught your eye, my heart stood still. Once again, I seemed to feel that old yearning, and spark of love was still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. It's foolish to start when that old, old feeling is still in my.
Given determination and the right breaks, it is possible for singers to rise to a stardom that instrumentalists almost never attain. Despite their very different beginnings, both Ethel Waters and Lena Horne achieved this, and so did Peggy Lee, who was born Norma Dolores Eggstrom on the 26th of May, 1920. She joined Benny Goodman's band as vocalist at the age of 21, and 2 years later she married Goodman's guitarist, Dave Barber, and retired to devote herself to being a wife and mother. She had to be persuaded to return to singing, and the number she sings in our selection here marked her first cautious reappearance in 1944. She had such style and so much natural feeling for jazz phrasing that she simply could not hold out against the demands of the public and launched herself on what was to become a long and glorious career. She also developed into a talented lyricist and wrote songs with many leading composers, including Duke Ellington and Quincy Jones. Despite a vague and slightly dotty manner, Peggy is both astute and determined. In the 1980s, she took on the mighty Disney Corporation in a dispute over the video rights for her contribution to the film Lady and the Tramp. The case dragged on for years, but she won. Her autobiography, Miss Peggy Lee, was published in 1990. Let's give a listen to another fantastic jazz female vocalist, Dinah Washington. This track, Blues for a Day, was recorded back in 1945 in Los Angeles, and it features Dinah on vocals, Carl George on trumpet, Jewel Grant on alto, Lucky Thompson on tenor sax, Gene Porter on baritone, Milt Jackson on the vibraphone here, Wilbert Barranco on piano, Charles Mingus playing the bass, and Lee Young on drums. Let's listen to Blues for a Day, Dinah Washington.
Baby, if you love me, then show me that you care.
Now here, the young Dinah is at her best. Her sharp, bright voice finds a perfect foil in Lucky Thompson's cavernous, smoky tenor saxophone sound and the easy lope of the rhythm section. This also makes one of the earliest appearances on record of vibraphonist Milt Jackson, later of the Modern Jazz Quartet, and bassist-composer Charles Mingus. Another great jazz vocalist was Mildred Bailey. And this track we're going to listen to, When Day Is Done, was recorded back in New York City in 1935, and it features Mildred and her swing band, Mildred singing, of course, Chris Griffin on trumpet, Chew Berry doing tenor, Red Norbo on xylophone, Teddy Wilson on piano, Dick McDonough on guitar, Artie Bernstein on bass, and Ed Doherty on drums. Great lineup here for Mildred Bally's When Day Is Done. Mildred could swing like a good trumpet player and lay out her phrases so that they fell on the ear like natural speech. Two invaluable qualities in a jazz singer. If she sounds like anyone at all here, it is the young Billie Holiday. But this track was made before any of Billie's classic records were cut. Teddy Wilson's piano and the xylophone of Mildred's husband, Red Narvo, had tremendous impetus to this bustling version of an old ballad, When Day Is Done. Mildred Bally was born in 1903. And by the age of 20, she was singing round the tables of Hollywood speakeasies. These were boom years in the movie industry. Bing Crosby remembered seeing film tycoons handing Mildred $100 bills to sing their request. She was discovered by Paul Whiteman, the biggest band leader of the day, and joined his orchestra, along with such great jazz musicians as Bix Beiderbecke, Eddie Lang, and Joe Venuti. In this company, she could not help picking up a feeling for jazz rhythm and phrasing. It stayed with her for the rest of her life. Mildred later sang with some of the finest bands of the swing era and made a lot of records. Her only problem was her size. She was very fat, and the world of entertainment is cruel to fat people, except when they play on their size for laughs. However, looks did not matter on radio, and her greatest success was as a radio star with syndicated shows heard coast to coast. Mildred's voice light, supple, and slightly girlish, was curiously at odds with her appearance. It could handle virtually any type of song. Ballads, swing, blues, funny songs, torch songs, and even spirituals. And drawing room pieces like From the Land of the Sky Blue Water. She died aged 48 in 1951. Well, that's it for this episode of the Jazz Treasury with Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again, and big thanks to over 3,000 subscribers to the Jazz Treasury. I'm so happy to hear that the flame of jazz is being kept alive by listeners. Please spread the word. Please go to my Facebook page, give it a like, share some things you know about jazz. Go to the website, www.thejazztreasury.com, and check that out too. As I had mentioned earlier in the episode, I'll be replaying some earlier episodes of the Jazz Treasury starting next month. And through September, October, we'll start up with some brand new episodes. But I'll be moving to the beautiful place of Cornwall, England, and bringing you the Jazz Treasury podcast from there in October. Please keep listening. Enjoy the jazz.